course, Israeli genocide in Gaza raging with a death toll exceeding 30,400. Meantime, several Israeli forces are killed and their military equipment destroyed as Palestinian fighters perform more operations across Gaza. And the top Hamas official says the talks are underway in the Egyptian capital, aimed at finalizing a ceasefire deal in the Gaza Strip. Good to have you with us. The ongoing Israeli genocidal campaign in Gaza keeps taking a heavy toll on civilians. Scores are killed in the regime's attacks. At least 10 people were killed in an airstrike targeting a house in the Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza. 11 others were killed in an airstrike that targeted a tent for displaced people in Rafah. Dozens of civilians were also killed in the strikes on Khan Yunis and Deir al-Balah in southern and central Gaza. For a second time in less than 2 days, Israeli troops opened fire on Palestinians waiting for aid in Gaza City, killing one of them and injuring dozens more. The death toll from the onslaught on Gaza since early October has surpassed 30,400. Most of them are women and children. Some 71,000 others have also been injured, while thousands more remain unaccounted for. Our correspondent Motia Bumusabe says that fresh attacks on Gaza have left behind more civilian casualties.
These days, the Palestinian people are witnessing another wave of the Israeli massacres hitting all areas of Gaza Strip. And the last night, the Palestinian people in Rafah City actually lived a horrifying night, as the Israeli warplanes continued targeting more residential buildings. At least 14 Palestinian civilians, most of them women and children, were slaughtered while they were inside a house when the Israeli warplanes destroyed that house over their heads. In the meantime, the Israeli occupation forces committed another massacre in Jabalia refugee camp by killing at least 10 Palestinian civilians. In As-Saftawi neighborhood, located in the northern part of Gaza City, also, the Israeli warplanes destroyed another house over the heads of the Palestinian residents there, killing at least 6 Palestinian civilians. And now, these moments, as we are speaking right now, the Israeli occupation forces are circumventing Hamad neighborhood, located in the northern part of Khan Yunis City, knowing that the Israeli occupation forces committed an appalling massacre yesterday by attacking the school taking shelter there by the Palestinian evacuees.
Now, meantime, Palestinian fighters are putting up stiff resistance against Israeli forces in Gaza. Fighting on the ground is raging there. The Military Gulf Hamas resistance movement says its fighters blew up a booby-trap house that resulted in the death or injury of at least 7 regime soldiers in Khan Yunis. Al-Ghassan Brigades said that the group was also able to seize an Israeli Skylark drone in Gaza City. Israel's confirmed the death of 3 of its soldiers in Gaza. 14 others were also injured, 6 of them seriously. The regime says 245 of its troopers have been killed since it launched a ground invasion of Gaza in late October. Palestinian groups say that the regime is intentionally hiding the real number of its casualties to avoid public anger. The Islamic Jihad resistance movement has warned the Israeli Prime Minister over the regime's post-war scheme. The spokesman for the military wing of the Islamic Jihad says that the future of the Gaza Strip will be determined by resistance movements only, not Israel. Abu Hamza said that the end of the war in Gaza will be a prelude to the complete destruction of the Tel Aviv regime. He stressed the group's readiness to continue the fight against Israel as long as it takes. Now, those comments came as Israel is planning to control and occupy Gaza after a possible truce. Abu Hamza also urged Arabs and Muslims to provide Palestine with weapons. He urged all Palestinians to mobilize against Israel on the first day of the holy fasting month of Ramadan. A top Hamas official says the movement has received an invitation to visit Cairo for ceasefire talks that will resume later today. Osama Hamdan says that Hamas is keen on achieving a result that will satisfy the Palestinians. Hamdan said, however, that Israel does not want a ceasefire. He said the regime is killing Palestinians and the U.S. is given a time to continue with the crimes. Meantime, Egyptian sources say that representatives from Hamas, Qatar, and the U.S. have arrived in Cairo to resume the talks. Palestinian and Israeli negotiators have already agreed on the duration of the ceasefire and a prisoner swap. Draft proposals indicate that 400 Palestinian prisoners will be released in exchange for 40 Israeli captives. The proposals also include a daily delivery of 500 trucks of humanitarian aid into Gaza, while both sides stop their military operations. The Israeli military withdrawal from the coastal strip remains a bone of contention. Now, a planned visit to the U.S. by the Israeli War Cabinet Minister Benny Gantz has enraged Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu's main political rival is to meet with the U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris and other senior American officials during his trip. That has led Netanyahu infuriated, as he has not authorized the trip, and in a phone conversation with Gantz, told him sarcastically that Israel has only one prime minister. Netanyahu was even said to have been unaware of the visit until Gantz called him on Friday to let him know of his plans and to discuss what messages to convey to the Americans. Israeli forces have fatally shot a Palestinian teenager in a violent raid near the Jalazun refugee camp north of the West Bank city of Ramallah. According to Palestinian sources, 13-year-old Mohammed Khaled Zayed died as a result of serious wounds he sustained after being hit with regime forces' live fire. Israeli forces left the teen bleeding for about an hour before handing him over to Palestinian ambulance service. Another teenager was also injured during that raid. Israel has intensified incursions across the West Bank since launching a genocidal war on Gaza. Attacks by both Israeli forces and settlers have left more than 400 Palestinians dead in the occupied territories ever since. Monai Kendall joined us a short while ago with details regarding the latest Israeli deadly raid in the West Bank.
This teen was shot dead by the Israeli soldiers last night near Al-Jalazun refugee camp. We have to mention that there's the illegal settlement of Beit Il. It's adjacent to the refugee camp of Al-Jalazun. And the Israelis claim that this Palestinian child, 13-year-old Mohammed Zayed, tried to throw Molotov cocktails at the nearby Israeli settlement. And then the Israelis opened fire at him, shot him, and left him bleeding. Then the Israelis were reporting that a Palestinian was shot and killed under the bridge of Al-Jalazun refugee camp. There are walls separating the illegal settlement of Beit Il. There are towers surrounding the settlement of Beit Il with Israeli soldiers there. So it's according to the family, it's impossible for this child to go to this nearby area and to try to throw Molotov cocktails. But as usual, the Israelis try to show that it's another act by Palestinians to carry out any form of aggression against the Israelis, and that's why they opened fire. He was only 13 years old. He was the only child of his family, and he was shot and killed. This means the number of Palestinians who were killed by the Israeli forces since the 7th of October rises to 419. Palestinians were shot and killed by the Israeli forces, and a number were killed by the settlers.
Nicaragua has sued Germany at the International Court of Justice for financing Israel and cutting aid to the UN Palestinian Refugee Agency. As announced by the ICJ, the Latin American country has accused Berlin of violating international law by continued funding for Tel Aviv. Nicaragua has asked the court to order emergency measures that would force Germany to cease military aid to Israel and restart funding the UNRWA. Nicaragua says Germany is facilitating the Israeli genocide against Palestinians by defunding the UNRWA. Germany is a key ally of the Israeli regime, according to UN experts, one of Tel Aviv's biggest arms providers alongside the U.S. At least 9 UNRWA donors, including Germany and the U.S., have suspended funding for the agency. Thousands of Austrians have taken to the streets of the capital of Vienna to protest the Israeli genocide in the Gaza Strip. Waving Palestinian flags, demonstrators marched on the House of European Union and the Parliament building. They chanted slogans including Free Palestine and Hands Off Rafah. Ralliers called for an immediate ceasefire and the delivery of humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip. Similar events were also held across European countries.
Italian cities were the scene of rallies on Saturday in solidarity with Gaza and in condemnation of Israel's inhuman attacks against Palestinian civilians. Rome, Florence, Pisa, Syracuse, Grosseto. For the umpteenth time since early October, tens of thousands of people across Italy took to the streets of their respective cities to express their anger at the Italian government for unconditionally supporting the Israeli regime and at the international community for its complicity in Gaza genocide.
Today, more than ever, international law is just an abstract set of norms which prevails over humanity. Millions of people have died since the Sykes-Picot Accord over 100 years ago, and we're still arguing over the fact that Palestine is a state or not.
We'll go down in history as those who silently supported the genocide period.
Italy has not condemned Israel for the killing of unarmed Palestinians collecting aid in Gaza in an attack that killed more than 100 people on Thursday. However, Rome has called on the Israeli regime to investigate the incident and bring the perpetrators behind the aid massacre to justice.
The Italian police crackdown on students during Palestine solidarity demonstrations in the past weeks has sparked outrage across Italy. Student collectives are at loggerheads with Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni and police over the rise in attacks against students.
The government and police repression has revealed the bare truth. Our country is a democracy only on paper. Ours are simply the democracies of double standards and deception. We have been attacked during our protest for peace in Ukraine, and we are attacked today. We perfectly know how democracies work in Western countries.
Thousands of artists, curators and critics have signed an open letter calling on the Venice Biennale, one of the world's largest contemporary visual art exhibitions, to exclude the Israeli National Pavilion from this year's art exhibition due to the brutal assaults against the civilians in Gaza. However, Italy's culture minister has firmly backed Israel's participation. Max Civili, Rome.
Across France, supporters of Palestine marched to denounce Israel's constant atrocities and war crimes during their latest invasion of Gaza. The world has been stunned by what's been dubbed the Flower Massacre, the death of over 100 Palestinians and the wounding of nearly 800 others after Israeli troops opened fire on civilians waiting for food.
We are here to ask for sanctions and to expose the hypocrisy of those who say they were shocked by the killing of people starving that were getting humanitarian aid, but at the same time don't do anything to stop the genocide.
Some 600,000 people in Gaza, or 25% of the population, are currently at risk of famine.
The French Foreign Ministry said the shootings were unjustifiable and backed a call for an independent investigation by the United Nations. French President Emmanuel Macron demanded truth, justice, respect for international law, and called for an immediate ceasefire.
In the Western world, which is and remains accomplice with the Israeli genocide, but a slight change in the tone of all those Western leaders, including Emmanuel Macron. Remember that a few months ago, Macron was proposing a military coalition to fight the Palestinian resistance in Gaza.
4 years ago, Macron forced through a bill which equated anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism, despite the obvious differences between the two.
Il a deux visages.
Macron is two-faced. It is only since the International Criminal Court announced that they would investigate Israel that Macron began to say just a few words which were not in total support of Israel. He continues to give arms to Israel and is as complicit as the leaders in Tel Aviv.
Many marchers carried signs of deceased United States soldier Aaron Bushnell, who set himself on fire at the Israeli embassy in Washington after declaring that he will no longer be complicit in genocide. After the start of Israel's invasion of Gaza, France imposed a nationwide ban on pro-Palestinian demonstrations around the country. Activists were forced to endure mass arrests, a record number of fines, and the infamous brutality of France's police. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Now over to Pakistan. The newly elected parliament there has picked Shahbaz Sharif as the new prime minister. Sharif was elected with 201 votes in the 336-seat National Assembly. He heads an alliance of opposing political groups led by his Muslim League Nawaz Party. The coalition came together to prevent the Tehreek-e-Insaf party of former Prime Minister Imran Khan from regaining power. Khan was ousted in April 2022. Tehreek-e-Insaf won the single-party majority in last month's elections. Shahbaz Sharif was first elected Prime Minister after Khan's ouster, but his government was dissolved last August. He's been heading the country's caretaker government ever since. Now to South Korea, thousands of people, actually senior doctors there, have staged a rally in the capital city supporting junior doctors who have been on strike for weeks over government's reforms. Protesters chanted slogans and held placards criticizing the government's plans to increase the number of medical school admissions. Now, the government argues that its plans are aimed at adding new doctors to the health system to deal with the country's rapidly aging population. The rally was held after the government threatened to revoke the licenses of the striking doctors if they continue their walkouts. Since last month, more than 9,000 junior doctors have left their jobs. The walkouts have caused disruption and delays to surgeries and medical treatments at hospitals. And that's all for this newscast from Tehran. Thank you for being with us.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
About yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of law.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, March 3rd, 2024. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is a program which is broadcast on Sundays. This is a program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So, please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is another edition of Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from you, dear listeners. This time, Frank Thies from the Netherlands, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us reception report. Ayush Kumar Das from India has sent us reception report. And from India again, we've received reception report from Musharraf Hussain, our old and regular listener. And let's see who has sent us email. From India, Ayush Kumar Das has sent us a piece of email. Muhammad Briel from Malaysia has sent us a piece of email. Muhammad Briel is one of our old and regular listener. And Alejandra from Argentina has sent us an email. So, before we read your emails during the course of our program, I have to say that these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. And all of you who have sent in reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL from us. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. This is another edition of Listeners Special, and guess what? In this edition of Listeners Special, we are going to talk about Behbahan's daffodils. As you might know, Behbahan in the southwest Khuzestan province in Iran stands as one of Iran's most renowned hubs for daffodils. These beautiful flowers hold not only aesthetic value but also medicinal and industrial significance. The harvest season in Behbahan typically commences in mid-December and continues until late February and March. In essence, the daffodil harvest season in Behbahan transcends mere agricultural activity. It is a fusion of nature, culture, and industry, inviting tourists and travelers to immerse themselves in the splendor of this floral abundance while experiencing the rich tapestry of the region's heritage and traditions. The particular strain of daffodils cultivated in Behbahan is also known as Nargis. Historical texts even mention the expanse of Behbahan's daffodil gardens to have spanned between 700 to 800 hectares in centuries past. Yes, that is the story of Behbahan's daffodil. So, let's see what Ayush Kumar Das from India says. Ayush Kumar Das from India has sent us a piece of email and says, "Dear sir or madam, I want to say that the reception report is enclosed to this email. Please kindly find and issue a QSL card or EQSL to verify them. Also, send me some new programs guide and some beautiful postcards. I hope you will send me a letter soon as possible with a new QSL and picture postcard." Salam Ayush Kumar Das from India, and thank you very much for writing to us at IRIB English Radio. We hope you're fine. Actually, we received your reception report. As you might know, these reception reports enable us to provide a better service for our listeners around the world. So please accept our appreciations to you for your care and your support. And please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We wish you all the best. Just heard a piece of a very beautiful traditional music from Iran, from southern Iran, from Khuzestan, and the instrument that was being played was what in Farsi we say neyambun. Well, I was saying the attraction of these flowers, I mean the daffodils, lies not just in their beauty and diversity, but also in the special customs and arrangements surrounding them. These aspects have turned into a natural tourism attraction for the region, I mean Behbahan, and the broader province of Khuzestan, capable of drawing in diverse tourists from various parts of Iran and the world. Local customs related to the cultivation and celebration of the daffodils during the harvest season have become an integral part of the region's cultural identity. Tourists are treated to an immersive experience, witnessing the delicate process of harvesting these blooms, understanding their significance in traditional medicine, and partaking in cultural festivities unique to the area. Authorities and locals alike are keen on preserving this natural heritage, ensuring sustainable practices in daffodil cultivation and tourism management. According to available data, efforts are underway to enhance facilities for visitors, for tourists, including guided tours, accommodations, and cultural events centered around this seasonal marvel. Good for tourists. So, let's go to an email from Malaysia from Muhammad Briel, who is one of our old and regular listeners. Muhammad says, "Thank you for your email. I still prefer to receive a paper QSL card. Inshallah, you will continue to post paper QSLs, although I do understand the cost factor and delivery problems. Should IRIB decide otherwise, EQSLs are okay. Thank you for your efforts. Kind regards from Malaysia." A warm salam and greeting to you from Tehran, the capital of Iran, Muhammad Riel from Malaysia. Muhammad, many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. Of course, an EQSL or electronic QSL will be sent to you very soon as confirmation to your kind email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. As we always say, your views about our broadcast are always welcomed, kindly welcomed. Welcome back. As you just heard, the nature of the music from southern Iran has a joyful and very happy nature, and I like it. So, I was saying, daffodils hold profound symbolism in Iranian culture and literature, often emblematic of the beloved's eye. The poetry in Farsi frequently likens the beloved to the daffodil, drawing parallels with its leafless green stem, a symbol of humility and dignity, characterized by its hollow, straw-like, and curved structure. Lying at the head of the Persian Gulf and bordering Iraq on the west side, Khuzestan was settled about 6000 BC by a people with affinities to the Sumerians who came from the Zagros Mountains region. Urban centers appeared there with the first cities in Mesopotamia in the 4th millennium. Khuzestan, according to Encyclopedia Britannica, came to constitute the heart of the Elamite kingdom, with Susa as its capital. Alexander the Great took Susa shortly after the Battle of Guagmila in 331. The region was passed firmly into Parthian control between 148 and 113 BC and then under Sasanian rule about 226 CE. Moreover, it was a frontier zone between the Roman Byzantine and the Parthian Sasanian empires and finally was taken by the Arabs in about 642. The Khuzestan region was part of the Safavid and Qajar dynasties that successively ruled Iran. In the 20th century, Khuzestan's prosperity revived with the development of oil fields, the building of the Trans-Iranian Railway, and the expansion of ports at Abadan and Khorramshahr. And that was the story of the daffodils in Behbahan, which is located in Khuzestan province in southern Iran. So let's see what Alejandro from Argentina says in his email. Actually, Alejandro says, "Hi, I am glad that I could catch your signals here in Buenos Aires, Argentina, a few days ago. I attached an audio clip sample. The reception was good with a lot of noise, but overall the reception was good. Thank you for your precious efforts. Waiting for a verification from your side. God bless you all. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Alejandro from Argentina. Appreciations to you for this email, and it's good to hear that the signals of IRIB English Radio can be heard in Buenos Aires, Argentina, which is very far from Iran. Thank you very much for sending this email to your favorite radio, IRIB English Radio. God bless you too. An electronic QSL will be sent to you as confirmation to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We had a very great time together, but we have to say goodbye because we have come to the end of this edition of Listeners Special. But before saying goodbye to you, I just wanted to send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails from around the world, including Frank Tis from the Netherlands, Ayush Kumar Das from India, Musharraf Hussain from India, Mohammad Briel from Malaysia, and Alejandro from Argentina. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us at IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special Program. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
اون چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. Imam Khomeini's historic speech outlining the state of affairs of the course of the revolution. Date January 23, 1983. Topic: Importance of propagating Islamic culture. Brothers and sisters of the various faiths should join hands, defend the reputation and aims of Islam and the Islamic Republic, and not be afraid of this clamor, for we shall not be defeated. You who are shouldering a heavy responsibility, continue with confidence and solidarity with your job. Expand and improve your programs every day and make efforts to present programs that are original and conform to the teachings of Islam and safeguard your nation and your religion.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. On the subject of victory and its factors, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh said, "A divine purpose leads to victory." Well, this is one of the most elegant and important statements of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh about victory. You know, faith is the unique element which can give such strength to human spirit and so expand the area of its activity as to prepare it to face the hardest and most complex of problems without giving in or cowering. The person imbued with faith knows that hardships, no matter how severe, will not stand in front of his undefeatable spirit and will be overcome. The strength to bear hardship and adversity saves man from certain psychic illnesses. It is the power of faith which definitely increases a person's capacity for forbearance without affecting his mental equilibrium and his steadiness on the path of his goal.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi,
sallallahu alayhi.
The Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wasallam considers this merit as one of the characteristics of godly men, and he says, "The man of faith is like gold bullion. If placed in the furnace, it grows red hot, and when it is weighed afterwards, its weight is not diminished in the least. Imam Ali alayhi salam also said, in that regard, the spirit of a person possessing faith is more resistant than the hardest stone. You know, these two hadiths show the significance of faith and divine purposes in forming the moral strength of a Muslim. And we see that Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh saw the aim, which is something divine, as the main motivation for a faithful Muslim, and depicted victory for such a view as it was exactly the case in Iran's Great Revolution, when people resisted against the faithless for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, they reached the sweet fruit of victory and success. Thank you very much for being with us in this episode of Spring of the Truth. I hope that you have enjoyed it. And until another one, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha
is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The Limelight.
By deliberately targeting civilians, the Zionist regime has demolished the myth of rules-based order. It has also set in motion a time bomb against its own collateral damage, which it will never be able to defuse. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Crescent International Road, as the Zionist regime continues to deliberately murder civilians in occupied Palestine, the repercussions of its genocidal actions will soon boomerang on the entire Western-imposed global political and legal order. Western regimes like to flaunt the term international law in order to dress up their hegemonic policies as benevolent and orderly. What is often and perhaps deliberately overlooked is that the concept of international law, unlike domestic law, lacks a clear legal hierarchy, and its formulation is dependent on the conduct of state entities. Their actions create precedent, and these get informally enshrined into the international legal framework as customs. While this might seem superficial in considering the ongoing genocide in Palestine, it is quite substantive. The horrific actions of apartheid Israel will now formulate the footing for other states in using force. It should be remembered that the centuries-old debate about international law is centered around the idea whether it is law at all or it is a custom. The custom feature of international law makes it particularly vulnerable to bad precedents. How does this relate to the current situation? 20 years ago, Western regimes had almost total monopoly on initiating conflicts and using force to achieve their interest, whether strategic, political, or economic. In the multipolar global order, where Western dominance is in decline, other states will also now feel free to use force to advance their interests and principles, as is the case of Yemeni actions in the Red Sea. Decline of Western dominance is not speculation, but a fact acknowledged even by the proponents of West-centric hegemonic order. Analyzing the Munich Security Conference held in February 2024, Josep Borrell, High Representative of the European Union for Foreign Policy Affairs and Security Policy, wrote, "The era of Western dominance has indeed definitively ended. While this has been theoretically understood, we have not always drawn all practical conclusions from this new reality. One of the primary practical conclusions Borrell and other Western officials should draw is that when others resort to using force to degrade Western and Israeli interests, they will cite the importance and spin put by Western regimes on downplaying Israeli genocide in Palestine. As Western regimes choose to downplay and give carte blanche to the Zionist regime genocide of Palestinians, what they do not realize is that the Zionist regime's actions will be used as a precedent in future conflicts. When Western regimes are on the receiving end of a conflict, no one will listen to their cries of international law and norms. By blindly backing the Zionist regime's genocide in occupied Palestine, Western regimes have not only obliterated their soft power, they have also become catalysts for breaking down an already shaky international legal system. In the past, this system provided some minimal control mechanism over unruly political entities. Those who assume that the Zionist regime's crimes are unlikely to boomerang on the global scale should look at the U.S. violation of Iraqi sovereignty. Overall, future wars are likely to be more brutal and total. thanks to powers that enabled and downplayed the Zionist regime's genocide in Palestine. Another aspect that should be kept in mind is that it is simply a matter of time before hard power trips in favor of the Palestinians and the regional socio-political forces supporting them in their struggle for liberation. When that moment arrives, it will be impossible to attempt to try to convince the Palestinians to restrain themselves when powerful regimes actively enabled their genocide and did not care about any legal norms of war. By deliberately targeting civilians, the Zionist regime has demolished the myth of rules-based order. It has also set in motion a time bomb against its own collateral damage, which it will never be able to defuse.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
Arabi English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
You're listening to Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. It's a very good program called Hadith of the Day. Inshallah, we are going to discuss in this Hadith session. In every session, couple of Hadith or at least one Hadith explaining what is Shia and what is the Shia faith? Basically, people ask us, who are you? What is your identity? So we have to explain, and we will try to explain our identity through the eyes of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. So the first hadith we are going to discuss today, it's a just 2-3 line hadith, and there's a few points has been discussed about the qualities of Shia. This hadith is here where Abi Basir asks from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, who are the Shia? And then Imam explains, Shi'atuna ahlul wara' wal ijtihad wal ahlul wafa wal amana ahlul zuhud wal ibadah wal ibadah ashabu ihda wa iskhamsin rak'ah. Well, Imam explains couple points. Mainly in this hadith, as I have noted down, there's 12 points here discussed. So what we do, inshallah, we are going to explain one by one point with the hadith, with the explanations of ma'asumin and infallibles, and see how they explain. So the first point is discussed here is Shi'atuna ahlul wara'. Wara' in Arabic grammar, wara' means the one who protect himself or refrain himself from committing any kind of sin and doesn't want to go close to any sin, basically. This is the meaning of wara'. Wara' means the pious, piety. The one who keep himself away or herself away from committing any type of sin. This is the wara'. Well, we are going a little bit in detail to discuss more about wara' from the words of Ahlul Bayt. The first hadith I have picked here is from Wasa'il al-Shia, volume 15, page number 245. And the hadith is an Abi Ja'far alayhi salatu wasalam from Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam, where he says, "Qala Allah azza wa jal, yabna Adam." Ibn Adam, when hadith starts with this word, means this is hadith Qudsi. So we have words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the format of Quran. This is called Wahi. And the other part is message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not part of Quran, which is called in English, in Arabic, as hadith Qudsi. So Imam is narrating from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, the source is definitely his ancestors, and then hadith goes to Imam Ali and then Rasulullah. Allah says, وقال الله عز وجل يا ابن آدم اجتنب ما حرمت عليك تكن من أورع الناس. Allah says in this hadith, O son of Adam, اجتنب ما حرمت عليك. Just keep yourself away from what I have said is haram. It's haram on you. Haram means you are not allowed to touch it, see it, taste it. Haram means this is the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are not allowed to pass the boundary. You are not allowed to cross the boundary. Haram means haram. You are not allowed to touch it. So Allah says, اجتنب ما حرمت عليك, O son of Adam, O human being. If I say don't do this, don't eat this, don't look at that, that means this is haram. Don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all haram. Allah says, don't do that. Haramtu alayk. What he has to do, does haram on us. If you refrain yourself from that thing, takun min awra'in nas, then you are going to be the most pious person, inshallah ta'ala. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Ammar in the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.